Poetry Rocks Tool 22, the Hello, It's Me. And now that we're finished with all our ingredients of poetry, the purpose of this tool is to think about audience and the question, whom are you writing for? And to practice writing for a larger audience by writing to an audience of one. And for background, I have two quotes for you, one by Vladimir Nabokov. Of all the characters that a great artist creates, his readers are the best. And one by Anne Sexton. I think of myself as writing for one person, that one perfect reader who understands and loves. I have a question for you. Who are your readers? If you haven't yet given thought to your writing audience, it's time you did. Knowing who will be reading what you're writing will give you focus, clarity, and purpose. Perhaps you're writing in the hopes of being published in a particular publication. Wonderful. Then you'll want to take a look at what the editor is in the market for. Who are their magazine's readers? What do they care about? Perhaps your audience is yourself. Great. Then you're the only one you have to please. Editors be damned. Readers, not important. Perhaps you're writing for your family. Perfect. You can include details that only a family would love. And you can even slip in your mother's recipe for lemon meringue pie while you're at it. Some writers write for a reader they know. Fiction writer William Maxwell, a New Yorker editor for 40 years, lost his mother when he was 10 years old. Someone once asked him what he would say to her if he could, and he replied, "I would tell her, here are these beautiful books that I made for you." Some writers write for a reader they don't know, as U.S. Poet Laureate Ted Kooser does in his poem, Selecting a Reader. How utterly fabulous this poem is, and I put a link so you can enjoy it. I will just tell you that the reader that he imagines is a person who actually chooses to clean her raincoat rather than buy his book. And the thing I love about that is if you're imagining a reader like that, it's guaranteed to keep you from taking your writing too seriously, which can get in your way every bit as much as not taking your writing seriously enough. And I hope you'll take the time to check out that poem. It really is just delightful. And as you'll practice here, another possibility for audience, besides the ones I've already mentioned, is to write directly for one particular reader. I have a friend who now lives in Austin, Texas, Vivay Griffith, and she helped me to see the value in this approach in an email she sent me after she went to a reading by the acclaimed Chilean novelist Isabel Allende. Vivay wrote that she was struck by how at least two of her novels began as letters, House of the Spirits as a letter to her grandfather, Paula as a letter to her daughter Paula, who was in a coma. Interesting thoughts about the role of audience there, Vivay said, and I agree. The technique of writing directly to a particular person, a you, is astounding in its power to draw readers in. Writing to a you has power for the writer as well. Somehow, when what we write is aimed for a particular person's eyes and heart, we write with more passion, more authority. I name this tool in homage to my husband's favorite musician, Todd Rundgren, whose song Hello, It's Me was popular in my high school days. Writing directly to one person works as well in poetry as it does in music. And think about all the songs you listen to and love and have sung along to that in which the person who wrote the song is speaking to a particular person. I think almost all the love songs we hear are written that way, and they're very enjoyable because they're so personal. And you may remember way back in Tool 5, Neil Van Holly's poem, Oh Dead Fly. Even Neil, who was the most reluctant poet I've ever met, warmed up to the process when he wrote a Hello, It's Me. Now, my son Dan, who was Neil's classmate and participated in the same fifth grade poetry project, wrote a poem called Butterfly that illustrates beautifully the power of a poem of address. And what you'll notice as I read it, that the first three lines he's talking about the butterfly. And then in the final couplet, he writes directly to the butterfly. And you can just feel all the energy in that particular part when he actually speaks. And here it comes. "There is a butterfly gliding swiftly through the air, flapping bright, beautiful wings. Oh, butterfly, land on that rose. Then I can see you up close." Now, I know that that was written by my son, and so I'm predisposed to like it. And of course, he was a 10-year-old at the time when he put that poem together. But I still think it's a really great example of the power of directly addressing a particular subject. And you may note that it also has some slant rhyme in there. So that's a part of its charm. And Dan's poem is also a great example to show that you don't have to do a poem of address to a human being, and you don't even have to do a poem of address to anything animate. If you'd like to look at other examples that I have in here, in Poetry Rocks, Tool 7's Dressing for Summer is a poem of address, and so is Tool 16's For Mother as I Sort Through This Box of Clothes You Save for a Granddaughter. But there are lots of other poems of address that are not written to people, and I've just seen all manner of them. I hope you'll check them out. Just be on the lookout for different kinds of poems of address. And one of the things about the realm of creativity, there's always permutations. And if you think about the poem, if you reread Eat a Peach Amanda as a poem of address, I certainly wasn't writing it for the 4-year-old my daughter was at the time. The reader I had in mind, I think, was a grown-up Amanda who would appreciate a memory of when she was a little girl. And I was also writing that poem for myself so I'd remember that day. And there's another form of the Hello, It's Me that I want to mention here too before you actually have a chance to write yours, which is called a letter poem. And I have a link so you can look up some examples of a letter poem. And the example of mine I'm giving is a letter poem. It's a really easy way to approach your practicing this tool, a letter poem, because it really is just like writing a letter to a person. And to get yourself started off, you can even say dear whomever and go with it that way. And what you're going to do, of course, is to write a poem of address. And I do suggest, as I have with a number of the other tools, to begin with a list of people, places, and or things that you would enjoy addressing. And once you've done that, then pick one that you really would like to work with and craft your poem. And you can tell or ask whatever you'd like to. And as I mentioned, you can make this Hello, It's Me a letter poem if you like. And this example is called Letter to Vevey, and it's actually a letter to my friend Vevey, a letter poem. And for a long time, Vevey was living in Prague and around other cities in Europe, and we wrote each other these wonderful long letters and letter poems. And this is one I wrote to her about receiving one of her letters, Letter to Vevey. Autumn again, walking Peppercorn Lane, having just read your letter from Prague. Yes, my stepson's still gone. I haven't stopped worrying, but I'm learning to go on. A week ago, camping, I lost my Swiss Army knife, the one you and I used to cut our fruit and cheese that day at Connemara. I hunted long into the dark, again the next morning, hating this need to have all I own close around me. I thought of you, belongings paired to what fits in a backpack, then of my stepson, moving place to place with next to nothing, all he's ever owned, lost, or traded away, and how, even here on this dirt lane, answering your letter in my head, I am gathering burgundy stars of sweet gum, butter poplar, bright sourwood leaves. A cluster of lavender aster, I picture you drinking tea in Dobruk Jovna, struggling through Macbeth in Czech, picking mushrooms in a Bohemian forest. You write, you've never really left anything behind, your history attached to you as stubbornly as lichen to rock. Did I ever tell you about the Book of Tao I picked up in a Cincinnati bookstore? 15 at the time, I devoured Lao Tzu's words, empty yourself of everything, have much and be confused. No greater misfortune than wanting something for oneself. All the while blissful at possessing the words, the starkly beautiful photographs, the ink-scrolled characters of Chinese. Mottled red maple leaf, round oak gall, cone, I picture your hand clasping this letter. See our shared sky reflected in this rut of rainwater. Too late in the year for this scatter of fragrant blossoms, but it is honeysuckle. I breathe deep into stamen, deep into I am. Here, now, I put back one bittersweet leaf for you, one pine cone for the boy I couldn't reach, set one trumpet-shaped flower in the water for what we don't leave behind. And here's a reflection for you. Why do you think readers might enjoy reading a piece of writing directed to one particular person that isn't them? And how has this experience of writing to one person or one place or thing as a literary exercise impacted your thoughts about audience? Do you think it's worthwhile to determine who your audience is as you sit down to write a poem, or for that matter, any piece of writing in any genre? Why or why not? And to hone your craft, as you read others' poems, consider the audience it was written for, you being a member. Keep your own audience in mind as you write your own poems. To help you get clear on your audience, and for the sheer pleasure of it, you may want to try this exercise. Describe your reader in the moment of reading your work, as Ted Kooser does in his Selecting a Reader. You can write this as a poem or as prose, and it can be tongue-in-cheek or serious.